We're holding on Samachei Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. We started discussing yesterday the question, at what age is a child able to be zoche in something on his own or on behalf of others? I didn't have a chance to mention it today because we were in a hurry towards the end, but there's also a distinction that Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim also add between whether you have a gadol being machne to him or not. If you have a gadol being machne something to the child, das acheres machne lo, it's called, versus if he's koneh something on his own. Yeah. Okay. So the last thing we said was we had a case involving shittuf mavoyis, where we said you can be mezake, you can be mezake to all the members, all the people who live around the mavoyis through a child. But we said we gave an example that you can give it through a shivcha ivriya, an alma ivriya, who by definition is a kana, because once she becomes a naira, she's no longer a shivcha. And we said it works. So we said that's because it's dirabanan. Even though we could argue that when the rabbanan make a takana, they make it as similar as possible to the daraisa, that would only be when it's something that has an ikur minatora, only something where the basic concept exists daraisa and the chachamim are extending it. Not something like shittuf mavoyis, where the whole thing to begin with is dirabanan. So, most of Rav Yehuda says I have another contradiction to this idea that even an older katan, onus apurutis, for example, is not able to be. We said yesterday that Shmuel had said that a katan of any age can't be zoicha for others. And we said maybe it's something dirabanan he could, but in something daraisa he can't. I have a case of something daraisa where we see that he can. Now, we know that when you have Maisa Sheni, we know if you can't bring the Maisa Sheni to your Shalayim, back in the day, if there was too much of it, or if it was spoiled or whatever, nowadays, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, then you redeem it for money, you redeem it for cash, you take that cash to your, back in those days, you took the cash to your Shalayim, you spent it on food and ate it over there in Kedusha. The din is, when you're being paid your own Maisa Sheni, you have to add a Chomesh, you have to add 25% to the amount you're redeeming it for. So if the food is worth $10, you got to use $12.50. Yeah, that's the point. In other words, you redeem the $10 worth of food for $12.50 in cash. Now the food becomes chulin. You can eat it wherever you want. You take the $12.50 to your shalayim and spend it on food there. But if you're being paid at somebody else's ma'aser sheni, you do not have to add the 25%. We with 25% as usual in the Gemara, we call it 1/5 because chomish milabar. It's 1/5 of the total. The extra $2.50 that you're adding in this case is 1/5 of the total of $12.50. Anyway, so A Mishnah says, "Ma'arimin al Ma'aser Sheni." You're allowed to make a trick, a loop. You're allowed to exploit a loophole, basically involving Ma'aser Sheni, namely that you make it as if it was somebody, as if the one who's redeeming it is not the owner of it, and then you don't have to add a fifth. A person can say it to his older son or daughter. Similar machlokes as we talked about at the end yesterday. Do we mean older in the sense over bar bat mitzvah, or do we mean older in the sense that they're no longer eating at your table? They're living independently. Anyway, or la abde b'shipchase ivrim, or you can say to you eved ivri or amah ivriya, heilachem ma'isalalu. Here is this money I'm giving you. Uk dubrahen ma'isasheni there. You use this money to be paid to the ma'isasheni, and then varich lebe chomish. Then you're able to eat it without paying the chomish because the ma'isasheni belongs to you, but it's they who are being paid there. Therefore, it's not the owner. Therefore, no chomish. So now, again, we have to ask what we did yesterday. Hai shifcha hechidami. What's the situation with the shifcha? Ida asya beis sairus. If she's already developed shtei sairus, my boy gabe. What's she still doing as an alma ivriya? Once she has shtei sairus, she automatically goes free. Incidentally, there's an interesting thing that the Menchas Chinuch brings. The Ramban on the Torah has a shita that just like an adult man is able to sell himself as an Eved Ivri. We know there's two cases a person can become an Eved Ivri where he's sold by Beis Din for a theft that he can't pay for, or he sells himself because he's poor. The Ramban learns a woman can do the same thing when she's an adult. So what's the question over here? And so the Menchas Chinuch answers, because in that case he wouldn't have kinyan aguf over her. He would only have kinyan over her as far as Ma'aser Yadav, as far as that she works for him, but not that he has any kind of kinyan over her. So then there'd be no reason to mention it. She'd be no different than any other hired worker. Okay.
Yeah, what's different?
The fact that we're saying shivcha ivriya, this category of her own, and together with eved ivri, implies that somebody they have kinyan aguf on. That can only be even a kinyan aguf. That can only be a tana. So So necessarily, it must be she doesn't have shtei sairas, she's still a ktana, and we see that even in something daraisa, pidyon maisa sheni, which is something daraisa, you still can use a katan. So what? We said yesterday that we were talking about an inyan mamon. This whole time we've been talking about an inyan mamon. The context, of course, the Mishnah was talking about a get, but then we started talking in general about mamon. That the person can be zoicha for himself and something of money, be mizach to others, etc. What exactly the proof over here, by the way, a number of the various mefarshim have a few different mahalachim, how exactly this proves the issue anyway. Is it maybe because the katan is being mechalal the hektish, which means he's taking it out of the rishus of hektish and putting it into another rishus, therefore we see that he has the ability to be zoicha in something for himself, even though there's no das acheres, there's no adult giving it to him. Or is it maybe the fact that he's able to be mezakeh to his parents, or in the case of the shifcha, in the case of the amavriya, to her employer or whatever, where then he's being poydet and then being mezakeh to them? A few different approaches. Anyway, the answer is hachav ma'askin or ma'aseh bizman hazeh d'rabbanan. Okay, the Gemara says, you know what? You could be talking about ma'aseh nowadays after the korban, where the whole concept of taking ma'aseh, where they're taking truma and ma'aseh, is only d'rabbanan anymore. We've talked about in the past the question of after Eretz Yisrael, after the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, after Eretz Yisrael was conquered by the Goyim, does it to a certain extent lose its kedusha as far as the dinim of Truma and Ma'aser? The Rambam, for example, says Machlokes in various places in Shas. The Rambam paskins, and in fact, yes, Truma and Ma'aser nowadays in Eretz Yisrael is only the Rabbanan. So there you go. If it's the Rabbanan, then fine, we're back to in things the Rabbanan or cotton can be. That's what we're saying. That's what the Gemara says. You could say that this is going according to the opinion that it's the Rabbanan nowadays. Okay, then the question is, fine, nowadays, after the Churban, do you have an Alma Hevriya? But Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, in Evet Ivri Noya, Gela Bizman Shah Yevul Noya. You only have the din of Evet Ivri at a time when there's Yevul. Even during the first Beis Hamikdash, towards the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, there was no more Yovel because the 10 Shavatim had gone into Golos. Okay, and then Yom Yov brought them back, and there was one more Yovel. During the whole second Beis Hamikdash, we learned a month ago when we had the Sugya about Kruzbul, Tosfos learned that maybe there was Yovel during the second Beis Hamikdash. Other Rishonim say that not. Be that as it may, after the Churban, there's definitely no Yovel.
Between the two temples.
Between the two, and after the second one was destroyed. Yeah, there's definitely no Yovel. So you can't have a situation where there's an Amor Hevriya, but Ma'aser is only Dirabbanan. If it's a time when Ma'aser is Dirabbanan, there's no Amor Hevriya anyway. Ella, no. We can try the possibility, but us it's Shein and Nokrub Dirabbanan. Rather, we can say, never mind nowadays versus in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. We can be talking about in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. Rather, we're talking about that the stuff that we're talking about that Ma'aser was taken from and now needs to be redeemed grew in a flower pot, where that a flower pot without a hole. The whole chiyuv of taking truma and ma'aser from such produce is only d'rabbanan, as we learned way back near the beginning of the Masechta and Daches. So therefore, again, you're talking about a din d'rabbanan. So if you have grain or vegetables or what have you that you grew in a flower pot, we've talked about this before. If the flower pot has a hole, then it's chayiv d'araisa. But if it doesn't have a hole, we also talked about the question: what material is it made out of? Wood versus earthenware. Different rishonim have different understandings of the Gemara. Which one would be chayev even without a hole? Which one not? Whatever we talk about, Rashi versus the Rambam at the time. Anyway, depending on the material it's made out of, and if it doesn't have a hole, it won't be chayev in ma'aser in atzara. It's not growing from the ground. It's growing. It's inside a flower pot. Only the d'rabbanan would be chayev. Very well. Then you're talking about something d'rabbanan. We're back to that. Various Mephoshim talk about the Rashba talks about, why don't we say a much more simple answer? Why don't we just say that we're talking about the mice that we're talking about, because it was from vegetables. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and various other Rishonim, Rashi and others, which things are chayev in Ma'aser min HaTorah. The Rambam holds Rashi holds only dog and tirshvi, so only grain, grapes and olives. The Rambam holds all kinds of fruits. Everybody agrees that vegetables are only chayev de Rabbanan. Why don't we just say more simply? We're talking about that. So Rashba answers actually because then we would still be back to that Ke'en D'Araisa, that it's similar to something D'Araisa. You have Mid'Araisa fruits of Chayev, and Mid'Rabbanan we're extending it to vegetables as well. Whereas when we're talking about a flower pot, that's like a whole new Metzius, not something that can be considered Ke'en D'Araisa. On the other hand, they bring actually the Snag hold that Meister of vegetables is that Meister of vegetables is Daraisa. And in that case, then that's why the Gemara can't use that answer. I think he says that I think Otsit Nokov, yeah, would be Otsit Nokov, I think would be Daraisa, yeah. No, because if it's Nokov, it's getting nourishment from the ground, and if it's Ain and Nokov, it's not.
There's something with
Daraisa. Yeah,
it has something with
Daraisa
also.
Yeah.
But not
with Otsit. But fine, but at least, but an Otsit chain of Nokov with not even attached to the ground is like a whole Matthias of its own.
But it's more directly related to something to Daraisa than something Rabbanan, created by the Rabbanan.
Yeah, but it's not as much, it's not as much Kain Daraisa, right. And for the same reason, also, they talk about, according to the Gemara's first understanding that we were talking about nowadays, the vote would be, if nowadays you have a chiyuv of Truma and Maisim and Rabbanan, that also would be not Kain Daraisa. It would be a whole different Matthias. It's a whole different time. There's no Beis Hamikdash as opposed to before there was, and therefore you couldn't say Kain Daraisa. Omar Rava. Rava says, going back to what we started saying yesterday about these various times in a child's life, we said that you had the situation where a child is old enough that when you give him a rock, he'll throw it away, but you give him a nut, he'll keep it, and then an older age when he'll return something that you give him. Rava puts it differently. Gimel Midas V'Katan. There's three different Midas, three different stages by a Katan. Stage one, Srob is Zorkai Eggers V'Neitloi. If you give him a pebble, he'll throw it away, but if you give him a nut, he'll keep it. Then he's old enough, Zorkai Asma Vein Zorkai L'Acherim, that he can be Zorkai in something on his own, but he can't be Zorkai on behalf of others. And again, it gets into the question of, does it matter if Das Acheres Machnaloi, is it when we say that he's Zorkai for himself, do we mean Daraisa or only Darabonon? Anyway. Uknegdan, the Ktana, and the corresponding age, if it's a girl, she's old enough Niskadesh is Lemion. She's old enough that she can be, that she's able to be Niskadesh in the sense that then if her father is no longer alive, or if she's the Yisayim of a Chaya Abiyah, as we learned in Yavamas, that she'll require Miyun. In other words, below that age, even if her mother or brothers or what have you are Makadesh her, she doesn't even need Miyun. If she wants out of the marriage, Miyun, we learned about in Yavamas, she has to make a formal declaration in front of Beis Din or in front of guests at a party or whatever it is, I don't want to stay with my husband anymore. Below this age, she doesn't even need that. Below this age, if she's Mekudesh to somebody and she wants out, she can just leave and walk home, and that's it. No Miyun is
married,
and she's considered not married. Even by Miyun, because the whole marriage is only Derabanan, Miyun dissolves it as if it never existed, which is why, for example, she'd be able to marry a Kohen, she's not considered a Grusha, etc., all the various things that we learned about in Yavamas, that it's considered as if there was never any marriage. Right? Even if she'd be a yeah. Yeah, only with a Kohen Gadol, not a Kohen Gadol married Zola, but to a regular Kohen. We haven't gotten to that. That's the next one. Wait. In Rashi, yeah. Lishma Kedusha means that when you give her money for Kedushin, she knows how to hold on to it and not lose it. So she's a Ktana. That's the point. In other words, if she's so young that she won't know the difference between a pebble and a nut, and she'll keep both of them or throw them both away or whatever, then she's also not old enough to lishmo kiddushin. She's not old enough to be able to watch over the money you give her for a kiddushin, and therefore you can't say that her kiddushin have any validity, in the sense even that they should require miyun. Okay, so that's a different issue. Well, the father, we're talking about the father's no longer alive. If the father was alive, he's Makadosh anyway.
Give her a coin that says she gives it to a friend.
Okay. Stage number two. Ha-pu'utus, when they're the age of pu'utus, which we learned last week, one of the days when I was away, that the pu'utus is an age somewhere between 6 and 10, depending how sharp the child is. Mekhan mekhach memkar and mekhar mamatalplin. So if they buy something, it's considered a valid purchase. If they sell something, it's considered a valid sale, only as far as metalplin, not as far as karka. Uknegdan b'ktana, the corresponding age. For ktana, miskareshes the kiddush aviyah. If her father was mekadesh her, then she's able to be divorced because she's miskareshes veina chazeres. You're able to give her the get, and she knows that she's not supposed to be returning to this. Well, she knows to keep the get, but also she knows she's not supposed to be returning to this house anymore. As opposed to if she's younger than that, we said she's similar to a shota enough.
That's what age in general.
So anywhere between 6 and 10. So you have some children who are already at 6 are sharp enough to understand this kind of thing. Other children who it takes them until 10 to develop that kind of mental ability. after anywhere between those ages, depending on the capacity of the child, we learned earlier. The Rif and also the Rambam follows him, have the gears to the other way around. That the first stage is that when they're old enough to distinguish between the pebble and the nut is when they're old enough to be divorced. And the next stage, a portus, between 6 and 10, as the case may be, is when they're old enough to be niskadish and require miyum.
You do such a wedding now.
It won't be allowed in age of
addiction. Yeah. That's my question. But it would be valid after Torah?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, conceivably, yes.
Nobody
would resign a kedushin, that is true.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. Then.
No, but right. Let's say someone is a sort of...
Maybe it would be valid derodice, I don't know.
There's no prohibition like Rabbi Gershon's prohibition.
Not that I know of, no. As a matter of fact, you sometimes hear stories of people who, back in the days of the Cantonists, for example, who had to be married off very young because they wouldn't take married men, yeah, so... third stage, Gyula Onas Nedarim, once they reach the age of Nedarim, which as we learned back in Nedarim, a year before Bar Bas Mitzvah, as the case may be, they're already old enough that if they make a neder, we ask them, do you know that this neder is addressed to the Eivishter? And if they do, then it's a valid neder, that's called Onas Nedarim. So at that point, Nidreya Neder Vakdesh and Hektish, if they make a neder, it's a valid neder, as long as they know who it's addressed to, and if they make something Hektish, it's valid Hektish. Right. The corresponding age for a girl, she would be able to do chalitza. Now, Rashi learns what that means. So again, we're talking about a year before she turned 12. She's 11 years old. If she has simonim, if she has shtei tzairis, then already at that point she's old enough for chalitza. Now, Tosfos asks on that because what are you talking about? We learned back in Yevamos that Tanakh that first the Gemara explains in Nida that. As a matter of fact, it's Rava himself who says in Nida that if a girl develops shtei tzairis before 12 or a boy develops them before 13, they have no validity in halacha. They're considered a shumer. They're considered like a wart that grew hair.
Because they don't have das.
Because halacha l'moshe mitzinai, or whatever the actual derivation is, that below 13 or below 12, they're not it's not an age when they're able to become mature via shtei tzairis. So what are you talking about? An 11-year-old girl who has shtei tzairis is able to do chalitza. If she's 11 and she has shtei tzairis, the shtei tzairis don't count for anything. So Tosfos has a few different explanations. One of them is that what we mean is a boy when he's 12 is at Onas Nedarim. Correspondingly, a girl when she's 12, if she has shtei tzairis, she can do chalitza. Tosfos says I don't really like that. That doesn't really fit with the lashon. The lashon seems to be that when a boy or girl, respectively, are at Onas Nedarim, then a girl at Onas Nedarim at 11 is old enough for chalitza. But Tosfos gives a couple of other possibilities. Maybe this is only according to the Yosi. We learned back in Yevamos that according to Anastana can do chalitza. Or maybe our Gemara over here is not Rava who's saying it, but rather Rabba, and therefore two different opinions. So that's the argument.
Is always at 11.
Is always 1 year before Bar Bas Mitzvah. Well, I think in the Nedarim, I think we said we learned it from Sukkim, but whatever it is, that's what it was. Yeah, but there comes a point shortly before, a year before the Bar Bas Mitzvah, when they're considered that they have enough daf. There's a possibility that they have enough daf that if they know l'shem mina dano l'shem mina kdashnu, that it works.
We know it's 11. It could be.
Yeah, we learned it over there. Then some of no, it can't be older. There's no. Once they're a god, they're a god.
Only 13 months before.
Oh. No. I think actually we said it. I think we learned that there. We learned just some I don't remember. But and the last stage, the limka. Those are the three stages amongst Tanim. Then a person becomes Bar Bas Mitzvah. One more, the limka b'nichsei aviv. How old does a person have to be in order to sell real estate that they inherited from their father? That nichsei, meaning kakos. Yeah, that's what Rashi says, Karkaris. Yeah. Because we said, Metaltalin, they can sell them, they can buy and sell at a much younger age. We learned last week, Mishum Tidei Chaya, if you want them to be able to... Okay. Metaltalin is also what they inherited from their father. They have to be 20 years old in order to be able to do that. Because only then do they have full-fledged das, even more, there's a stage of das, you reach a Bar Bas Mitzvah, this is an even higher stage of das. There's a mimer at the beginning, in the Kutat Torah at the beginning of Bamidbar, where the Alter Rebbe explains, Al-Pi Kabbalah, that basically at 20 years old, 20 equaling Keser, that Esther may equal in Kesser, at that age, a child has fully received the moichin of their parent, and therefore, like, they can fully stand in their stead as far as selling kaka.
But
Mochi
comes back and tells you he sold your house.
He's only 12.
Okay.
So an apotropos, generally speaking, is only until 13, but I guess as far as Kauke, you still have to manage things until 20. Mishnah says, Ketana sha'amrei skabaligit, if a ketana says to a shliach, receive my get from me, meaning being a shliach kabbalah, ain't a get, it's not considered a valid get when he receives it, until she receives the get. Because she's a ketana, she doesn't have the ability to appoint a shliach. So therefore, if the husband wants to change his mind and invalidate the get before it actually reaches her, yeah, so then he's able to, because again, it's not a... No, we're talking about she's a ketana.
Right.
She doesn't yet have... No, ketana, by definition, doesn't have shtei sidus yet. Again, even if she's before 12 and she has shtei sidus, it's only considered a shuma. It's only considered like a mole or a wart or something, and it has no significance. She ain't ketana, it's a shliach, because a ketana doesn't have the ability to make a shliach. The im omaloyavia, however, if the father of the girl tells the shliach, seve skabla bitigita, you be a shliach kabbalah to receive the get for my daughter, then the father has the ability to make a shliach. Therefore, the father cannot change his mind once the get was given to the shliach. Another din, ha'omer ten get zela ishti b'ma complaini. If somebody says to a shliach, give this get to my wife in such and such a place, and he gives it to her in a different place, possible. Then it's possible because the husband doctor was machbid, evidently, that it should be done in such and such a place. He doesn't want the people of another place to make fun of him. He wants her to be nisbaza in this place. Whatever the reason might be exactly, he was machbid on it, and therefore you're changing from his instructions, so no good. On the other hand, if he tells him, if he tells him, give her the get, and you should know she is in such and such a place, but not from Mokam Achan, he gives it to her in a different place, kosher, then it's kosher, because then it's just Mara Mokam. He's just letting him know where you're going to find her, but not specifically saying it has to have to be there. Similarly, Ha'isha Sha'amri Skabali Giti B'Mokam Plaini, if the woman says to the Shliach Kabbalah, receive my get in such and such a place, but Kibla Lov Mokam Achan, and he receives it for a different place, possible. In this case, you have a lot of Machshir. In this case, Rabbi Elazar says it's kosher. Why? We'll talk about in the Gemara what the difference is from the Reisha. If she says, Havi ligiti mumakim plaini, what if she says, bring me my get from such and such a place? This is a shliach hava, according to the Rambam that we talked about the other day, that the Rambam holds, besides a shliach halacha from the husband and a shliach kabbalah from the wife, you also have a shliach hava, that the woman can tell somebody, bring my get, and bring it to me. So if she says that to somebody, and he brought it from someplace else, so he met the husband elsewhere and picked up the get from him and brought it to her, kosher. Then it's kosher. Okay. The question is, the Gemara says, Rav Elazar, Maishna Reishit like Polig or Maishna Sefer to Polig. Why in the Reishit is he not arguing if the husband told him do it in place X and he did it in place Y, and then in the Sefer he does argue? The answer is Iyu Demidaita Megarish, because the difference is the husband has to be Megarish with his own free will, with his das. Therefore, kafid. Therefore, his kpeda is instrumental. Yeah, without his das, the get will be possible. So if he's makbid, that takes away from his das. Ihi debal kocha miskareshes, whereas a woman who can be miskaresh against her will, until chayim deben agershim, then mara mokam hiloy. Then we have to, even though she said dafka, I want it to be received in such and such a place, she doesn't have the ability to make such a thing. It amounts to saying Marin Mokamilo, that she's just informing him this is where you'll find him, but not that it prevents the guest from being from... Continues the Mishnah, Havi Ligiti, if the woman says to the shliach, bring me my get, so again, we're talking about the shliach hava, so the get is only going to be effective once it reaches her. Good, so if she's the wife of a kohen, she can continue eating truma until the get actually reaches her, because up until that point, it's not chal. But if it's iskabaligiti, but if she says, b'makabal my get, so as soon as he receives it, she's megureshes, asur alach b'truma miyad, then she's also to eat truma right away. Not necessarily. Maybe not. Sometimes you need to spell it out, you know. You might think to make a zeta, one might be confused with the other, etc. As a matter of fact, in this particular case, Tosfos points out that it's actually Me'ikir Adin, you might have thought she should still be able to eat truma. She has a chazaka of being an Eishes Ish.
Yeah,
in the case where she says a scabble legit, In the case where she says it's kavod legiti, why are we saying as soon as she sends off the shliach, she's also to eat truma? Doesn't she have a chazaka of being an ashes ish? The answer is that no, it's a chumra that the chachamim were machmir because chazaka shliach is a shlichut, as we learned the other day. So that's the chiddush of it, so we do need that name. Iskabel legiti b'makom pleni, what if she says, receive my get in such and such a place? So then, echelos b'truma and shiadiyah get le'ezamakom. So then, she's able to eat truma until the get is able to reach that place, because then effectively what it means is she's saying, I only want you to be a shliach kabbalah when the get comes there. Rabbi Loza says that she's also right away, because again we said in the previous Mishnah that Rabbi Loza would say that even she says receive it in such and such a place and he receives it elsewhere, it's still kosher because she doesn't have the ability to object. Same thing over here. If she says it's supposed to be received here, if the guy instead receives it there, big deal, it's still going to be kosher. So you have to ask her right away, because who says we have to wait until the get is able to reach that place, or until the shliach is able to reach that place?
Otherwise her will cannot
change. Yeah. So Gemara asks, in the case where we said that you have the case where she says "skabeli diti b'makom pleni," we said that the implication apparently is that the implication is that if the get was received someplace else, then fine. At that point, she's still able to eat truma. But when the shliach with the get is going to reach this other place, that's when it'll take effect. The question is, get the miyahavi. How are you saying in that case that it's still considered a valid get? According to the Tanakhama in the previous Mishnah, you said that it's not considered a get in that case. That Hufpeda does have the ability to prevent it from taking effect. So what are you telling me over here? She said he scabbled the giti in Crown Heights and he received it in Flatbush. So okay, you wait until the amount of time it would take him to get to Crown Heights and then it's how. According to the Tanakhama, it should be possible altogether. The guy received it in a flatbush. The answer is, what we need the case in our Mishnah for is a case where she started out by saying, receive my get in Masa Machasya, the name of one of the cities in Babel. However, she continues and she says, the zimnin de mashkachaslay be Babel. But at times, you might find my husband in Babel instead. Babel not meaning the country, but rather the city of Babel within the country. So therefore, that implies that she's not machbid anymore. She mentioned Mas Machasya is, all she means by that is, you're not considered to be my shliach kabbalah until you arrive in Mas Machasya. At that point, your shlichus begins. Once you arrive in Mas Machasya, though, if you don't find him there, go to Babel and look for him over there. So that's v'hachi kamal. V'hachi kamal, right? So then what she's saying to him effectively is like this. Mishko kolaycha b'mashkachas le'shak b'minei. Wherever you get to get from him, go ahead and take it from him.
Mishko
to take it. Kol hecha the mashkachas, wherever you find him, shakle, take the get from him. So it doesn't even have to be, sorry, it doesn't even have to be then that he first goes to Masa Machasya. He can first go to Babel and happen to find him over there. However, what she's saying is, I want the get to only take effect when you reach Masa Machasya or when you receive the get, when you reach Masa Machasya, if you already have the get in your hand at that point. So then he has to get there in order for... No, but that's what I'm saying. She's saying you get it from him in Masa Machasya, but he may not be there. He may be in Babel instead. By mentioning Masa Machasya first, by mentioning get it from him in Masa Machasya, the implication is, regardless, if you get it from him in Masa Machasya, fine, it'll take effect right away there. If you get it from him in Babel or anywhere else, it's only going to be in effect when you come to Masa Machasya holding that get.
Okay, so he finds her husband in Babel.
He has to then travel to Masa Machasya in order for the get to be effective.
And if it's against the dust of the husband, if the dust...
What do you mean?
The husband says she's divorced. Now...
The husband gave him the husband doesn't have the ability to do anything against the Shliach Kabbalah. She has the ability...
He can't nominate the Shliach Kabbalah.
No, but he also...
He can say when he's going to be divorced.
But in this case, no. In this case, so that's the thing. According to the Chachamim, let's finish the last line. Gitalei havia the Moses Moshe Machasya. Therefore, she's saying it won't be a get until you reach Moshe Machasya. So that's the idea. In other words, is that the husband has given him the get. From the husband's point of view, fine, it took effect right away. But she made a t'nai on it. She made a t'nai, and according to the Tanakhama, she has the ability to make that t'nai. That until he comes to Moshe Machasya, the get is not in effect. Fine. Okay.
That's overruled by her husband's
It's not. Same principle as before. We've had cases where the shliach came and gave her the get, and she said, I don't want it now, come back tomorrow, or you keep it by you, or whatever it may say. It's not yechal.
So he's divorced, but she's not?
No, neither of them is divorced. But I mean, for him it doesn't matter as much as before claiming the amenagashim. He can marry another wife if he wants. Anyway, Tosfos brings up a different point over here. Tosfos brings up a point that we learned before, and we're going to learn more extensively later on in the seventh parak, that case of tzli gitzich me'al gabe karker, if the husband says, I'm putting you get on the ground, pick it up from there, that doesn't work. It has to be given by him or his shliach directly to her. Over here, if he gave the guy the get, she's making a condition that it's only going to be effective when he comes to Masa Machasya. When it comes to Masa Machasya, at that point, he's not receiving it directly from the husband or from his shliach anymore. How is it able to take effect at that point?
He received it in another town, and then he goes.
Yes. So Tosfos tries the possibility: what if we have maybe the husband made him a shliach halacha, and then you're supposed to turn into a shliach kabbalah? The problem with that is we learned two days of Rosh Chaz or shlichus etz labal that the shliach is not able to return to the husband and say I finished the shlichus, so that doesn't work. So instead, Tosfos says you have to have the similar scenario to the case we had back on Chof Dalet at the end of the second parak. Where the husband says to the wife herself, you be the shliach halacha until you get to such and such a place, to this based in, and then you are to appoint another shliach halacha to give the get to you. So that works. So that would be the scenario over here. The husband has given him the get. Yeah, the truth is, you're shliach number one, and your job is to give it to another, yes. Or Tosfos gives another possibility. Maybe he is considered a shliach for Kabbalah, but it is sort of like a t'nai and a get that I'm giving you the get now, but it's only supposed to take effect in 30 days. Anyway, Rabbi Elazar Oysimiyad, the mission had continued. Rabbi Elazar says she's also teaching Shlomo right away. The question is, she's not for sure divorced, but it's a chomer, like we said. Yeah. The question is, though, pshita, isn't it obvious? Amar Mokim Hiloi. On the face of it, she told him, according to Rabbi Elazar, we said in the previous Mishnah that even if she says, get it in this place and he got it in that place, doesn't matter. She doesn't have the ability to object, and therefore she's only Mara Mokim. Same thing over here. Why should he? The answer is, Lo Tzricha, the Chiddush in the Mishnah is, to Amrlei Zilum Nizrach, if she says to him, she says to the Shliach, go eastward to find him, to Isei B'Mizrach, because my husband, you'll find him east of here. Because of Lamayrav, and instead he starts going to the west. So Ma'ar detain him Ma'ar Palas. If he might argue, okay, he's going west. The husband's not in the west. There's no reason to think that there's no reason to think that he'll find him over there. Eventually, he's going to realize his mistake, turn around. But meanwhile, she shouldn't be also yet. Kamash Malon. That's what Rabbi Elazar is telling us. The Chiddush Dilma Bahadi because of Megas Geis. Because after all, still it could happen that he is going the wrong direction, but still maybe he meets him up over there. The husband is able to move around also. After all, the Yav like get there, and then the husband gives him the get. Again, given that according to Rabbi Elazar, she has no ability to say where the get dafter should be delivered, then yes, maybe the husband happened to travel in that direction also, and they met up. And therefore the Chumra we have to say she's also teaching Rama right away.
She would be considered divorced by now?
Rabbi Elazar is just saying that Rabbi Elazar is saying she's also teach truma because you never know when the get will be delivered.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the suffix won't really be relevant for anything else. It won't make, for example, that she'll have to do chalitza rather than yibum because ultimately we'll find out did the husband give the get to the shliach or not. So, yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara goes on to a related topic. If somebody says to a shliach, when it comes to putting down an Erev Tchumen, for example, we learned back in Erevin, there's two ways of making an Erev Tchumen. The more usual way is you put down some food at the spot that you want to be considered to be your center point for Shabbos, that's your Makom Shvisa, and then you measure your 2,000 amos in that direction. So if you say to a shliach, Orev Libetzmarim, make an Erev for me using dates, the Erev Leib Begrogris, and instead he made an Erev for him using dried figs, or Begrogris for Erev Leib Tzmarim. So the Shliach changed what he said. Tony Chada Eruv Eruv, Tani Yedachain Eruv Eruv. One Braisa says it's still a valid Erev, and the other one says it's not. So how do we reconcile them? Amar Rabba Leikasha, Harabon and Harabalazo. Fine, we could say the two Braises are according to the two respective opinions in our Mishnah. Harabon and Amri Kepeda. The Rabbanan say that the Kepeda is significant. Therefore, the guy said, the Rabbanan said, even though, now, well, so the thing is like this. The Rabbanan say, when it comes to get, Now, the Rabbanan agree in principle with what Rabbi Elazar is saying, that the woman doesn't have the ability to say the get should be received in one place and not in another. She doesn't have the ability to prevent the get from taking effect, after all. It can be given against her daf. Nevertheless, when you make somebody a shliach, that shliach has to follow your instructions exactly. In this case, the reason why, according to the Chacham, the get would be possible if he received it someplace else, not because the get has to be given with her daf, of course it doesn't, but because he changed from her shlichus. He didn't follow his shlichus. By the same logic over here, then, this shliach changes shlichus. He used the wrong kind of fruit, therefore it should not be an eruv. Whereas Rabbi Elazar would say, in the case of our Mishnah, yes, she told him, receive it in this place, but doesn't matter. It's only Mara Mokim. She's just telling him where you can be expected to find him. The same thing, then, we would argue with an Eruv, is that it doesn't, after all, why should it matter to you whether your Eruv is made with dates or figs? Either way, you have your Mokim Shvis over there. What do you care what kind of food? So therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, it should be a good Eruv. That's Rabba. Rabbi Yosef. I'm a Hava HaRabbanon. Rabbi Yosef says that no, actually, that both brises could be according to the Rabbanon. Kan b'shaloi, kan b'shachaveri. The difference is whose fruit is it? One case is where we're talking about that somebody else. So Rashi and Tosfos learn in an opposite way. Let's start with Rashi. Reuben says to Shimon, you can take some of my fruit and use it to make your eruv. So Shimon turns to Levi and says, take some of Reuben's dates and use them to make me an eruv. Instead, Levi goes and takes some figs of Reuben's instead. Reuben himself wasn't makbid. Shimon himself shouldn't be makbid. It's not his fruit anyway. Well, he shouldn't care which one it is. Therefore, it should be a valid eruv. It should be a valid eruv, even according to the Chachamim. Whereas if it's his own fruit, then yes, he would be makbid, and then according to the Rabbanan, his peda would have an effect. Rashi, what I just said is how Tosfos explains it. So I got that backwards. Rashi explains it as follows. Reuben says to Shimon, you have permission to take some of my dates and use them to make an Eruv. So Shimon goes to Levi and tells him, go take some of Reuben's dates and use them to make an Eruv for me. Instead, he goes and takes some figs. Then there's a beta from Reuben. Well, Reuben never gave permission to take any of his figs. Therefore, there's a beta. Therefore, not a good Eruv. Whereas if Shimon himself had told Levi, take some of my own fruit, take some of my dates and use them to make an eruv, if instead he took figs, big deal, it's all his own fruit anyway. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says the other way around. It's the other way around. If it's his friend's stuff, then there's not so much of peda. But if it's his own fruit, there would be. Omalei Abaya, the Elohad D'Tanya. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, according to you, you're saying that both cases are talking about, that both brises are according to the Rabbanon, but one's talking about his own fruit, the other's talking about somebody else's fruit. What about another brise? What if a case where somebody said to his shliach, make an eruv for me, put the eruv in a closet, the eruv like a shovach, and instead he put the eruv into a pigeon house, or the shovach the eruv like a migdol? So you have one price saying it's a good Eruv, the other not. Now, obviously, we're not talking about the situation where, for example, he wanted an Eruv made in this direction to be put in the closet in this direction, and the guy went in that direction and put it in a birdhouse. Obviously, it wouldn't be a good Eruv. The guy Dafka wants to be able to go in this direction. We're talking about they're right next to each other. They're the same direction, they're right next to each other. There's no difference between them except they're two different kinds of containers. Well, what kind of shaloi versus shachavere would there be over there? Either way, it's the basket of his own food. It's just what structure is it being put in? According to you, why would that make a difference? According to Rabba, you could say, okay, your makbid that should have to be put in the migdol. The guy would change the shlichus and put it in the shovach. That's why it's possible, not because he changed the shlichus. According to you, the peda may or may not make a difference. So what? Yeah, the answer is. Hossam Nami, he could pay it the Migdala, pay it the Shiva. You could have a situation over there. He doesn't mean place the Eruv food in the Migdal or place it in the Shiva. He means take some of the food, take some of the fruit that is lying there in the Migdal and use that to make an Eruv for me. Take some of the Peiros that are in the Shiva and use that to make an Eruv for me. So then you have the same kind of thing again. If he takes from the wrong place, then again, according to Rashi's and Tosfos, various opinion whether we're talking about his own or somebody else's, there would be Peiros over here.
His own would work.
According to Rashi, his own would work. Somebody else's would not. According to Tosfos, the other way around. Here. Mishnah says, if somebody says to people, to a couple of Eidim, write a get and give it to my wife. Obviously it's valid. Also, if he says Gashua, if he says divorcer, in other words, the chiddush is when he says kisvu get, even though we've learned before that get can also mean a shtar, nevertheless, it's common enough that people use the word get dafka to mean a get isha, and therefore that's a valid way of empowering them as a shluchim. Same thing if he says Gashua, same thing, that's a standard lashon. Or kisvu igeres to Tumula, or if he says write an igeres and give it to her, so now igeres on the face of it could mean a letter. But again, because it's a standard lashon of get, so Rashi points out all these lashonis that we just quoted are all fit either a get itself is the name of the thing, but the lashon gershua and kis and igeres are both lashonis that you find in the actual get. The actual text of a get, where it's quoted in the last paragraph, includes the words igeres shvukin. So we see that the word igeres specifically can mean a get.
What's igeres
shvukin? Igeres shvukin means literally means a letter of abandonment. Like I'm making her abandon me and go away, basically. So the word igeres can be used to mean a get, and therefore that's considered that he validly appointed them shvukin to write a get. So in all those cases, Harela Yuchtiv will be Yitzu. In all those cases, they can write the get and give it to her. In all those cases, by the way, he does have to say Uchnulo. He can't just say write it. He has to actually say and give it to her, as opposed to the next Mishnah, which we'll deal with tomorrow, which will talk about cases where he doesn't have to say give it, and still you can give it anyway. On the other hand, Patruha, but if he tells them Patruha, which could be a lotion of Ptur, it could mean Rashi explains that it could be a lashon of like exempting her from something, not necessarily. Now it could mean a get also. As a matter of fact, another one of lashonis in the get also is the get p'turim. So it could mean that, but it can also mean pater her from some obligation, or panasua. Or if he says give her panasa, give her something that she needs. So does that mean a get? So does that mean, for example, she needs this get in order that she no. No, it's not going to mean no, because the silver she's going to collect after she's divorced or dies. But the possibilities are it could mean that he's saying if I don't give her this get, she's going to end up being a shemeres yavam because I'm going to die childless. Or it could mean take care of her as far as get her, you know, make sure that she needs to be provided with food, clothing, etc. So panasua or asula kanimus, if he says do for her according to the law. So what does that mean? The law that a get has to be given, or the law that she needs to be the stipend that she needs to have food and clothes and so forth. Or asula karoy, he says, do the appropriate thing for her. All those don't count for anything because those don't definitively mean write a get. Some more lashonis. Shalchua, if he says to them the lashon shalchua, send her away. Or shabkua, or the igeres shvukin that we just mentioned, make her abandon, basically. Or tarchua, make her divorce. That's another lashon from the get. Sefer tiruchin is another one of the lashonis of the get. Tiruchin means driving away, basically. All those harei liyichtu will be yitnu. So in all those cases, if he uses one of those lashonis, shalchua, if he says kitzu get, if he says shalchua or to tznu leishti, for example, then they can write the get and give it to her. But patrua, but if he says, like we said in the Mishnah, patrua, panasua, asula kanimus, asula karoi, loyam aklum, and all those don't count for anything because they're not specific enough. Tanya, Rav Nosson actually makes a distinction within that. Patrua drav kayomin, pitruha loyam aklum. It depends what nekudas he put on the word. Rashi gives two explanations. Rashi's first explanation is if he says pitruha, then it's meloshin get piturin. So it means divorce. It means arrange for her to be divorced. As opposed to patruha would mean patter her from something from some obligation, and not necessarily write her again. That's Rashi's first explanation that he heard from his rebbeim. Then he says the other way around. Patruha is an imperative, like it's similar to shalchuha, for example. Pitruha is a pitch. So patruha would be more of something you need to do, arrange for her to be divorced. As opposed to pitruha would be more of a lashon of pitur and chayva, or more of a lashon of exempt her from some obligation.
Other than a get.
Other than a get, right? Yeah, Rashi said on the Mishnah, for example, that let's say she's burdened by debts. Let's say so arrange for her to be potter from those. There's a difference between Rashi and Ezrabeim. Which one, patruha versus pitruha, means arrange for her to be divorced versus arrange for her to be potter. So, Amar Rava, Rav Nosson de Bavla, who, you know what, Rav Nosson actually was from Bavel. This is the Rav Nosson who we mentioned in Kinneret Rebbe, but Rav Nosson Seifer. But he originally came from Bavel. Right, he originally came from Bavel. He didn't have Smith over there. But he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was appointed to Av Beis Din. He was the Av Beis Din in the times of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So then he got Smith. He was the one who worked together, who tried to work together with the mayor to have Rav Shimon Gamliel deposed, and therefore, yeah, they were thrown out of the Smedrish for a while, and then when they were admitted back in, they were from then on called Achirim and Yeshoimrim, as the case may be. Yeah. Anyway, so Rav Nosson, being from Bavel, v'dayis ben pitruha l'patruha, he's more precise about this kind of difference between pitruha and patruha. Why would he be more precise? Rashi says because the people of Bavel speak, they're bilingual. They speak both Hebrew and Aramaic, as opposed to apparently the people in Eretz Yisrael at that time spoke only Lashon Kodesh. So therefore, They have to be more careful with these things because the form pitruha is not something that you would find in Lashon Kodesh. So therefore, patruha would be in Lashon Kodesh, pitruha would be in Aramaic, and that's a distinction that they know they need to make because you can find both forms in Aramaic. You don't find both forms in Lashon Kodesh. As opposed to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, that's why so the Tanakhama of the Braisa just said patruha then doesn't mean anything. Rav Nosson, being from Bavel, is the one who's being more precise about it and making that nice distinction.
So by distinguishing it from patruha,
in other words, the point is in Eretz Yisrael they didn't make that distinction because in Eretz Yisrael they only spoke one language anyway.
Right.
So patruha or pitruha would just be two ways of pronouncing the same word.
It's so in Aramaic, it's forget.
Forget. Yeah. Okay, so actually, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the back has a bit of discussion about it also. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael they were medactic in Ivrit, but on the contrary, actually, he wants to say that because what Rashi is saying basically, because in Eretz Yisrael they spoke two languages, Hebrew and Aramaic, therefore they need to be more careful with distinguishing between the vowels, because you say it with one vowel, it's an Ivri, and you say it in another with another vowel, it's an Aramaic. In Eretz Yisrael they didn't make that distinction. Either way you could have it, whether you say Patrua or Pitrua, it could be under the Zahra Yaakov Emden learns it. And either way, whether you say patruah or patruah in Lashon Kodesh,
yeah,
it can have a meaning of patter her from an obligation rather than divorce.
In Lashon Kodesh, what's the meaning, different meaning between patruah and in Lashon Kodesh, what's the difference?
That's the thing. So what he's saying is that if you say pitruah, then it could be, it's an imperative, like he brings from apostle kivruah, it's like kivruah means bury her, pitruah would mean patter her. And patrua could also be, like, for example, pakdua, just like pakdua would mean command her, patrua could also mean pater her. So both of them could end up meaning pater her. Whereas in Babel, because they had Aramaic to deal with as well, therefore they needed to make a that distinction. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, both. Yeah.
So in Lashon Kodesh, you're saying there's no difference in meaning between Hebrew and Patois?
There's a shade of difference in meaning, but it doesn't affect our purposes over here. They're both imperatives, but they both mean pater her from an obligation. In Babel, they couldn't do it that way because they spoke a different language there as well. Therefore, they had to use one to mean pater her and a different one, since after all, the same Lashon is used in Aramaic for divorce. That's the point. In Ivre, the word pater in Lashon Kodesh, the word the Shodesh pater doesn't mean to divorce somebody. In Aramaic, it does. So therefore, they needed to use different Nekudas to distinguish between the Hebrew and the Aramaic form. In Eretz Yisrael, they could use either Nekuda, and it still means the Hebrew form, where the Shodesh Potter means to talk to somebody from an obligation not to divorce them. Tana Dizat, about Eretz Yisrael, Uloi Dayak, whereas the Tana of our Mishnah, being from Eretz Yisrael, is not Medayak like that. He doesn't have to make that distinction. Now they had a question. What about some other Lashonim? What if the husband says, Hoitzi Uha? Send her out. On the one hand, the pasuk is v'yotzei mibeitei by divorce, that she leaves the house. On the other hand, hoitziua implies that you send her out, as opposed to v'yotzei, means she goes out on her own. Izvua ma, what if he says leave her alone? That's not a lashon that it says in the get. Is that considered a valid lashon for this purpose? Hatirua ma, what if he says bimata her? Is it related to Hareat Materis Lechadam, or maybe it means Hatiruha bimata her neder, unloosen her belt, Hanichuha mahu, leave her alone, what would be the din? Kayilula, do something effective for her mahu, Asula kados mahu, what if he says do for her according to the law? Are any of those considered a valid lashon of empowering them to be shluchim for a get or not? So the Gemara says, "Pshet mi achad." Okay, we can at least answer one of them. The Tanya asula kados, asula kanimus, asula karoi. So this is adding karoi, which we didn't have in the Mishnah. Actually, we have it. Asula kados rather is the extra one that we didn't have in the Mishnah. Then lo yamakum, all those don't count for anything. All the other ones, therefore, since the Gemara doesn't resolve them, are left as a suffix. And if they're left as a suffix, then therefore, then it would be a suffix. It would be a suffix get.